Hello and welcome back to episode 22 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. James, we've only got like two or three of these things left, depending on if we do a Pro Bowl podcast, which I think we won't.
Probably not. It's sort of the stupidest all-star game in all of professional sports, so... Yeah.
So we'll probably skip that week. But, you know, conference championships coming up, it's sort of a weird year in that it's all the people that we thought were going to be there at the beginning of the year. No weird surprises. I mean, yeah. You know, San Francisco had to play in the wild card round, but if you thought that Seattle and San Francisco were both going to be in, at least one of them would have had to play in the wild card round.
Yeah, according to Vegas, anyway, at the beginning of the season, the four teams that were expected to be at this point in the playoffs are at this point in the playoffs.
Yeah, do you think that's good for Vegas or bad for Vegas?
I don't know.
They lose less money if one of those teams win, but I would guess a lot more people bet on Denver, Seattle, New England, San Francisco.
I feel like, you know, on the one hand, it's good for Vegas because it means that they have at least been able to figure something correctly. But, I feel like unless there's some pervasive phenomenon that we're unaware of amongst gamblers where somehow, although this would seem impossible, favorites are bet on less heavily than not favorites. I think that would be completely impossible according to how Vegas does their lines and things, right?
But that they try to set it up so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that it's got to be maybe slightly disappointing for Vegas in terms of making large amounts of money on people betting.
Yeah, but at least they don't have like a bunch of people holding Denver 100-1 or something like they could have with the Giants or, you know, one of those teams. So.
Exactly.
I would guess that maybe it means they win a little less, but they're less at risk, so probably, you know, they're smart. It probably always works out.
They probably prefer it that way anyway. Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows, James? Well, let's just move straight into our review of the divisional round of the playoffs. All right, let's review these games in the order that they occurred. The first game last week was the rematch. Almost all the games were rematches, but a rematch that we, I think, were pretty excited about. Seattle and the New Orleans Saints. We predicted four specific turnovers for this game, and I don't think any of them came to pass.
Not that I remember.
Yeah, but... Seattle did win, which is what you said would happen.
Yep.
They won pretty convincingly, maybe not as convincingly as last time.
Yeah,
but
definitely not as convincingly as I claimed they were going to, but they did still win.
Yeah, so what did you see out of Seattle's defense? I guess we kind of expected this, so it's a little less to talk about, but I would say that in my case, the thing that really stood out to me was how well, specifically Michael Bennett, but also the rest of the Seattle defensive line played and managed to get to Breeze pretty quickly on a lot of plays.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, we didn't see the interceptions that we specifically predicted.
What can you do?
Or any interceptions at all, but we did still see the Seahawks getting turnovers. Specifically Bennett forcing two fumbles, I think, or something like that. And they did pressure Breeze a lot, though they actually only managed to hit him once, I think.
Yeah, but he looked a little unsettled for most of the game. Really, certainly the entire first half and, you know, into some of the second half there. Now, they did kind of have a chance to drive and win. I don't know.
The Seahawks
make me nervous a little bit.
I think, I think they're a team that a lot of people still don't know how to interpret in terms of their, like, level of comfortability watching them play. I mean, like, if you were to see, like, the 49ers in that same situation, you would probably be like, okay, well, this game is done. They're just going to manage the crap out of this until the game's over or something like that. But the Seahawks, I don't know, it's some combination of, and it's not even really that, like, the Seahawks and the 49ers are terribly different teams. It's just that somehow the 49ers bring a little bit more sort of gravitas to the table.
No, I think I think the difference from my perspective is that the 49ers defense, or I'm sorry, offense, once they get ahead, like, reliably will just run their 4-yard runs and get a first down over and over and eat up the clock, whereas Seattle has not been as reliable with that.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a pretty big difference, and part of that is just that their receivers aren't quite as good, and their offensive line isn't quite as good, so... Needless to say, we're looking forward. We'll talk in the preview about what we expect for the next game. And I think we'll even pick the lines. We haven't done it in a while, but there's only two games.
So we can might probably as well do it.
I don't really have much more to say about this. I did know, you know, the Saints came out really hitting players hard, which I guess they wanted to set a physical tone, and they kind of knocked Percy Harvin out of the game, which is sad, but I guess not unexpected at this point. And that didn't really work for them. I mean, I guess, you know, holding Seattle to 24 for the Saints, you would kind of expect that their offense could score that much, but it didn't. So what can you do?
Yeah. I mean, we saw a decline in the Saints' offensive power sort of near the end of the season and in all of the playoffs, I think. So
I think these outdoor games and the rain and all that is not helpful. So.
Yeah, they're never.
What can you do? All right, the next game was Indianapolis, New England. Can we just skip it?
Yeah, pretty much. Andrew, couldn't stay lucky long enough.
Yeah,
actually, I do. This isn't really defense related because we know that both teams' defenses were terrible. But the return of LeGarrette Blount as like a person who mattered for at least one game this year.
We'll
which
see.
Is weird.
See if he matters against the Denver run defense that's actually competent.
Yeah, I think that that's probably that's the real test is running against even a halfway passable run defense. But it was disappointing if you are a reasonable human being, and I guess, you know, pleasing if you happen to root for the Patriots because there's something wrong with your brain.
Yeah, and the Colts were a team that we thought was bad coming into the year. We both wanted their under, which didn't come through. And I don't know. That defense is bad, and they need more pieces to really make it work. There was a little stretch there where their cornerbacks were healthy, and they were able to really press receivers at the line, and they won a couple games on that, but they aren't reliably able to do it, so.
Yeah, I agree. There's only so much luck can do.
Yeah, exactly. And especially when they run these game plans where they're trying to run 30 times and, like, their running backs are bad, their offensive line is bad.
Yes.
So it's weird. The Colts are weird. But I don't know. I really have almost nothing to say about this game defensively other than that, you know, the Patriots do an okay job, and when you consider who they're starting, they do a really good job. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. I think as much as it always pains me to say this, something is going really right in Foxborough. They're just
jerks. Jerks?
They know how to manage a team.
Did you see the Charles Barkley thing?
I did.
he agrees. They're too. They're too entitled. They've been too good for too long.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Looking forward to the retirement of Brady. Maybe some down years.
Yeah.
Although who knows? Maybe they'll do what the Colts did and tank out and then get the best quarterback coming out of college or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, next game was the other NFC game. That was Carolina and San Francisco. Carolina got kind of crushed.
They did a little bit. The final score's not that bad, but they were pretty much out of the game the entire second half.
You could almost say, even though they weren't even behind at this point, but you could almost say by when they kicked that field goal instead of going for seven that second time, they're like almost out of it right
now. Yeah. Well, I know, and you know, you pointed out while we were watching this game, we had just watched Carolina on two drives earlier, failed to punch the ball in four times from
it's true
from the one.
But then
and then we saw them do it again. Like, and that's, as you were saying, that's what Carolina does. That's sort of their best shtick. And San Francisco had their number every single time.
It's true. Carolina not being able to make it on those many first, you know, short yardage systems that they had there.
Yeah.
But that's really bad for them. And that they're a team that should be able to make that happen. And I don't know, they just couldn't do it, and I thought their defense played okay. They got a bunch of personal fouls.
Yeah.
They came out a little too fired up, maybe, and I think that hurt them a little bit, although it really only led to about 6 points, so.
I mean, it was a defensive slugfest. It was hard-hitting. It was contentious. It was hot-headed. It was everything we expected it to be.
It was. And on the plus side, Steve Smith looked good. We like Steve Smith. And after the game, he came out and did an interview where he slammed Jacksonville for no reason.
Yep, that's true.
It's like, well, we can have a Super Bowl if they can have it. What's Jacksonville?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's good to see that Steve Smith won a little thing like a somewhat crushing playoff defeat dampen his spirits in any way, shape, or form.
Hopefully he comes back next year. You know, he's not
I don't think he's
talent.
Going anywhere.
Yeah, I think he'll come back. He's not great anymore, but he's still serviceable. He's still good enough to
absolutely
play.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine the effect that he must have on his teammates.
True. That's true. So, locker room presence argument there. So.
Yeah.
Anything particularly stand out to you from San Francisco in this game?
No, except that they came out, you know, we say Carolina came out maybe too fired up, but we do get our greatest, the greatest moment from this game when San Francisco proves that not only were they fired up, but they were ready to, they were basically flying the entire time.
Yeah, teaser for the non-hit hit of the week this year. All right, the last game was Denver-San Diego. So this game was lower scoring than expected. It went under by a pretty comfortable margin. And I thought in particular that Denver's pass rush looked way better than I thought it was going to without Von Miller. I thought that they were going to have trouble generating pressure, and Kenny Phillips really does a good job getting pressure on Phillip Rivers and abusing the side of the line, the right side of their line.
I feel like Phillips had shown flashes of greatness during the regular season, but hadn't been too terribly noticeable. Probably because Von Miller comes back after his suspension is up, and then he's not really an integral component. But, you know, he stepped up when it mattered and did a pretty good job.
Yeah, so the only really thing that stood out to me, the other thing that really stood out to me was Quentin Jammer is not good. And if Chris Harris is still injured next week, which I think he probably will be, they're going to really need Champ Bailey to be able to move out of the slot. They played him in the slot most of this game and cover a receiver. I guess against New England is a pretty good matchup for them not to have that because their receivers aren't that great, but it still makes me nervous to have Quentin Jammer out there.
Yeah, you really got to... Despite the fact that his last name is, like, perfect for a cornerback.
Well, he was very good. He's old, and he couldn't keep up with Keenan Allen, obviously. You couldn't have had a, like, more old cornerback, young receiver matchup than that. He's just, like, flying past Quentin Jammer. So, yeah. I don't know.
Poor Quentin Jammer. Yeah, I think you're right that against the depleted receiving core of New England, they should serve. They should be able to handle it a little bit better. But, boy, would it be nice if Champ Bailey could play to his maximum.
Any parting words for the San Diego defense from this game?
Good job, Eric Weddle.
Eric Weddle played well. I think that, you know, they got an interception. They got two interceptions in that game. One of them I thought was kind of a weird play, but the other one was good. And, you know, they kept their offense in it even when their offense wasn't moving. So that's a good thing to do when you're, you know...
Yeah,
they held Denver to 24. That's pretty good.
That is actually really good. And I guess they're kind of a defense that I don't really understand exactly how they're good.
Well, I think they've improved kind of across the board. Their cornerbacks have improved quite a bit, so that helps. And their run defense was never really horrible. It was just a little horrible. So you know, and they were getting better pressure, I think. Maybe not as much in this game as in the one against Cincinnati, but, you know, they were doing okay on that, too. So if they can keep that going, maybe add another component or two for next year, could be good. And I actually thought Manti Te'o near the end of the year was looking pretty good as well. So he didn't get our Rookie of the Year pick for this year, but, you know, he can still get in there sometime. He could still be a valuable contributor, that's what I'm saying.
Sure, so, yes, absolutely.
That's something. All right, I think that's all that we have about the divisional round, so we will move on and talk about the conference round, conference championships now. All right, James, we're going to take these in the order that they're going to happen, and that means that the first game that we are going to talk about is New England at Denver. This is a rematch game.
Yeah.
You may recall that in the last game, Denver got up by a huge amount. They were shutting out the Patriots, I believe, at halftime.
24-0.
Yep. And then they managed to lose in overtime after muffing a punt that puts New England straight into field goal range. I think Wes Welker muffs a punt.
Yes. That's in fact exactly what happened. Yeah,
leading to my questioning whether he may be a spy.
Yeah.
We're going to find out in this game whether he's a spy. If he comes up through with a couple touchdowns, we'll know he isn't. But if not, we're going to know that Bill Belichick, real reason he let him go was to sabotage the Denver team, you know.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk too much about the offense because that's not what we do. Let's talk about the defenses of each of this team. Question number one.
Yeah.
Do we think that the Patriots defense can stop the Denver Broncos?
Maybe.
My guess is no.
Yeah, that's sort of
the thing about
the
Patriots defense is that Aqib Talib is really good.
Yeah.
And against teams that have one really good receiver, like the Colts last week, they can put Talib on him and kind of let that go. And that helps a lot, right? But Denver has, depending on how you look at it, 3 to 5 good receivers.
Yeah, I would be willing to say 5.
Yeah. So they're not able to just lock down, you know, like the Bill Belichick philosophy is take away what your opponent does best. But what even is that? Like, is it Demaryius Thomas? Is it Julius Thomas? Like, it's so difficult to decide what that is that I think that they're going to have a lot of trouble in this game, and especially going to have a lot of trouble if they can't generate pressure, which has been inconsistent for this team this
year. I think the important key in the Patriots defense is Chandler Jones this week, and whether or not he can get in Peyton Manning's face.
Yeah,
and
he really is going to have to.
Yeah, he really needs to, because if he does, that'll give the Patriots at least a chance to handle the passing catastrophe for other teams that Peyton Manning is.
Yeah, but the other thing that happened last game was that they let Denver run. Denver ran for like 200 yards. They played a defense that was really designed to stop the pass and just let them run a whole bunch. And I don't know, do you think they're going to try that again? Would you try that again? It worked for them, but only sort of. Only in the we had to have a muffed kick in overtime.
Worked is maybe too strong a word, but the question is whether or not I think they'll try it again, I think Bill Belichick thinks it's a good idea. Because, I mean, as you said, his philosophy is take away what the other team does best.
Right, and I think
the Broncos bomb things, the Broncos pass the time. Yeah. So I think, putting the game in the hands of
what the Broncos, and the Sean Moreno
and Monty Ball and Trindon Holiday, maybe.
Yeah, that may be what the Patriots want to do. And, that could either work if there's some fumbles, which is what happened in the last game, or really not work, which is how Denver got up ahead in the last game. So it should be interesting to see how they approach this game. And I do think that they'll probably try to use that strategy again, but, they're never going to do exactly the same thing. So
we'll see. Bill Belichick's not that stupid.
We'll see if they fake that looked out, that backed off look and then start crashing people towards the line or whatever. On the Denver side, do we think that Denver can stop the New England attack and the resurgent LeGarrette Blount?
I think you probably hit it on the nose in our review section. LeGarrette Blount managed to pull off a career game last week, but against a team that basically would have been better off playing cardboard cutouts of famous players as their run defense.
Yeah.
So, I think, he's probably got a little bit more work to do against even a vaguely real run defense. And Denver's run defense is even better than that.
Like 10th best or so, according to Football Outsiders, which is pretty good. Somewhere in there. Top 10 in any case. So
yeah.
I do think Denver's going to have success, and let me tell you why, James.
Okay.
There's a player on Denver, and some might say that this is a liability for Denver, and that player is Paris Lennon.
Okay.
What do you know about Paris Lennon?
I'm
going to go ahead and guess probably nothing.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been fantasy relevant. He hasn't really been league relevant for a while. He's kind of bounced around from team to team. But he's going to be playing a decent number of snaps, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Lennon is a linebacker.
Okay.
And I learned on the BS report today, Paris Lennon is the last remaining player in the NFL who played in the XFL.
No way.
I suspect that we see some XFL-style hits levied on
what
the
you're saying
Blount.
Is the Broncos have been hiding a secret weapon all season.
I think that is what I'm saying, and I think that in run support, he's not going to be afraid to take on 250-pound LeGarrette Blount, because his XFL experience is going to tell him not to be afraid of a 250-pound running back, because he can just launch himself at him.
Oh, that'll be it. That's the matchup to watch this week.
In seriousness, the matchups to watch are whether the line, you know, if Denver can stay true to themselves as a top 10 run defense and make the Patriots throw to the receiving core that they have, mm-hmm. I think Denver can be successful with that plan, even if they don't get a lot of pressure on Brady. Yeah. Because those receivers just aren't very good.
No, they're not.
So if, you know, if Denver can't hold up in the run game, it's going to be a lot harder for them, because that's really where the Patriots have been successful for the last 4 weeks or so.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I think it comes down to. Do you have anything else to say about this game before we do the lines?
No, not really. Let's go straight to it.
All right. The Denver Broncos at home
uh-huh.
are favored by 4.5 points.
Uh-huh.
And the over-under is 56 right now. I will. I heard that this game opened with the Denver Broncos favored by 7.
Whoa.
It got bet down to 4.5. Probably because 7 is insane. Who's buying?
Yeah, you know, 7's a little bit
6
crazy.
And a half I could maybe make a case for, but who's betting 7? Who's yeah. You know, Patriots have been very good this year, and have, you know, even the games they've lost have been close.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine, can't imagine that being the right solution.
Yeah, probably not.
I can pick first. I love these Denver Broncos, but I will be picking New England because 4.5 is still too much. This seems like a field goal game.
Yeah.
Also because I've had pretty good success this year with the take points in the New England game strategies.
Yeah.
Because they do tend to play a lot of close games due to their defense being bad.
I totally understand.
So I will take New England. 56 is so many points. But I will choose over anyway.
Yeah.
Why
that's
not?
The way to do it. I'll almost certainly take the over on this game despite being
56 points, which
56
is a ton.
56 points, which is so much. It's so, you know, I think you convinced me last week that the Patriots basically always play close games.
Yeah, except for last week when they won by 21.
Yeah.
After the Colts kind of gave up on that punt on 4th and 1, down 3 scores.
Yeah.
It's like an entire quarter of play, and they put, all right.
That they had
already. We won't get
into
this.
Yeah. No, we are in agreement. That's stupid, but, yeah, I think I have to take, I think I, as boring as this is for the listeners out there, I think I just have to agree completely with you, Alan.
All right, New England
and the over.
That over makes me nervous. 56 is a lot.
It's okay.
And I do think that both teams may be running a lot because that's what the Patriots do now, and that's what the Patriots want to let Denver do, but.
Yeah, but still, last game, they sort of tried to do that, and they scored 64 points or something like that, so.
What can you do? Although there was overtime involved.
Yeah. But only three of those points came in overtime.
Yeah, so what can you do? All right, the evening game.
Uh-huh.
Somehow this got a premium spot uh-huh. over the Patriots.
over
something
the
must have
Brady
Manning
Bowl 25. Yeah,
because the AFC had both night games last week, so I'm guessing they just weren't allowed to put
the AFC
in the night
again.
Yeah. But anyway, Seattle, San Francisco, number 3 for the year.
Yeah.
This is not just a game we've seen before. It's a game we've seen
twice before.
I don't even know what to say about this game. Both defenses are really, really good.
Yeah.
I think that San Francisco's offense is a little better because I think their receivers are better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if Percy Harvin plays, I think their receivers are better.
I think that that's probably correct.
So
that being said, I think I personally have more confidence in Russell Wilson to be able to lead a team and keep things calm than Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick is a little terrifying. He gets jittery, and you never know if he's going to have a crazy good game or
yeah.
if he's going to throw an interception.
Exactly. And I think all we've seen from Russell Wilson is just, like, constant poise.
Yeah. Now, his numbers aren't so good because his receivers
aren't
so
good.
Bad, but
yeah.
That is true. And I don't think we see a lot of running out of either quarterback in this game because I think both of these defenses are going to be
too
able
good.
To handle
yeah.
that. Plus, they get, you know, practice against
right.
running
yeah.
quarterbacks. So they're prepared for that kind of situation.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, this seems like the kind of game to me that's just going to be decided on one big play or one big penalty or something like that.
Yeah, it feels like this game is going to be super close
yeah.
the whole way. I just don't... it's probably going to be exciting.
Oh, I think so.
The
I mean,
time.
This. I guess there was a Seattle blowout of San Francisco, their home game this year.
Right.
They kind of
yeah.
blew them out. And that game, Kaepernick was really not good. And he,
right.
you know, there were a lot of turnovers and they got off to a big lead early. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that 49ers team, really both of these teams, aren't built to play from behind by a lot.
No, not
if
really.
If they're within a score, so it's fine. They can run their normal stuff. But once they get behind, both teams have trouble, so
yeah.
I think if one team can get off to a big start, that'll be pretty helpful.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess in terms of like important defensive matchups, Seattle's defensive line has been really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think if they can keep that up and really hem in Kaepernick in terms of his running and passing, that would be a key for them to winning. Mm-hmm. And
if they can control Frank Gore, I think,
and
also.
That has to do with the line.
That'll be important,
as well.
Yeah.
I do think that Seattle is better against the pass than they are against the run, so that's a good point. Like, they do, if Frank Gore can reliably run for 4 or 5 yards a pop, it's going to be much harder
in
for
trouble.
Them. So.
Yeah. Right, I think that despite the fact that the 49ers receivers are better than the Seattle receivers, I think Seattle's secondary is better than the 49ers. It's good enough, I think, to make up for perhaps the difference. Although, I don't know. Anquan Boldin against, I guess, who would, Maxwell, maybe? Or
probably Maxwell.
Probably
it could
Maxwell.
Be Thurmond.
Yeah, Thurmond would probably be better for the Seahawks, but that's going to be an interesting... I mean, Anquan Boldin is an exciting receiver to watch work always, just because he's
And Crabtree looks fully back to me, so...
Yeah.
Another player who looked really, really good to me last week was Bobby Wagner of the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
He was a player that I really liked for fantasy coming into this year, and wasn't all that good. I think that teams literally didn't get up to run enough plays against Seattle for him to really rack up the tackle numbers he had the year before. But I thought he looked great in that Saints game. I mean,
he was
stopping
stellar.
Runs at the line and all that kind of stuff that you want to see. So,
he was all over the place.
You know, if I think he's going to be a really critical component in stopping Frank Gore, which we think is important for Seattle to win.
Yeah.
For San Francisco to win, I guess it's kind of the same thing. They have to stop Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I do think that they are fully capable of that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially the display we got from their front seven against Carolina was
very
proof positive that I think that they can, if they play to their fullest, hem in even beast mode.
It's true. Well, do you want to pick it?
Yeah, let's pick it.
You want to guess what the line is? Have you seen this yet?
The line has got to be like half a point in favor of one team or the other.
Well, it sort of is if you assume that 3 points are spotted
for
home field advantage.
Okay.
It is Seattle by 3.5.
Wow, gosh, that's exactly what I don't want to pick.
Oh, well, I want to pick it. I will take the underdog in this one as well. Give me San Francisco.
All right, this time I've got to go for Seattle. This is mostly a gut pick, listeners. I just want Seattle to win so fervently that I feel as though my hopes and dreams will have an impact on this game and allow Seattle to win by 4 points.
Yeah. Do you want to guess the over-under?
I'll
tell you this. It's quite a bit different from the 56.
Is it less than 40?
It is less than 40.
Whoa!
But not very much.
Oh, my Lord.
39.5.
Wow. That, oh, I can't.
Really low.
Mm.
I think I like over here as well.
I think I like over.
I mean,
also.
I understand the logic. Both of these teams have really good defenses and inconsistent offenses.
Yeah.
But 40 points, we can get 40.
The playoffs,
points.
Yeah. I think it's going to be.
Yeah. One of these teams.
One of these teams is going to.
They can do it.
Yeah.
We could see a 24-21 or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Although I would prefer to see a 25-21.
That's what I hear based on the pick. All right, I think that's it for our preview of the conference championships. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album on iTunes or CD Baby. We are on iTunes. Share us with their friends. We've only got a couple episodes left. We'll figure out what those are. We'll definitely do a Super Bowl preview episode, one of the either next week or the week after. We probably one of those 2 weeks will probably take off just because Pro Bowl. Whatever.
Pro Bowl, yeah.
And we might do a wrap up after the Super Bowl, or we might wait until into the off season a little bit so we can talk about, you know, the draft.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Like I think
draft
so too.
Preview podcast.
That'd be fun. That'd be good.
James, we only talked about one hit of the week, but I have another one.
Okay.
I think we have two non-hit hits of the week. And
right.
they're probably things everyone saw. We might not even link to these, but they were both delightful plays. So I'll go first. My hit of the week was Philip Rivers smacking that ball back at his center after he snapped it too late. I thought that was great. I love angry Philip Rivers. It makes me really happy to see him so mad at everything.
Yeah.
And he's just yelling for the ball to be snapped, and by the time it gets snapped, he's already heard the whistle, and he just swats it back as if he just wants nothing more to do with it. So my hit of the week is Philip Rivers hitting that ball back at his center in anger.
Yeah.
James, what's your hit of the week?
My non-hit hit of the week also comes on a penalty, when it's one of these very, very tense plays. It's like a half yard away from the goal line, and Carolina's lined up, and they need to go for it, and Cam is calling the play, and Ahmad Brooks says, you know what? This play is going to happen right now! And he takes a flying leap up over everybody who's still standing still. He clears the entire offensive line and
nicks,
Cam Newton in the air.
Just Cam Newton a little bit on his way over.
Yeah. And then Cam Newton does maybe the greatest flop I've ever seen.
It was a serious flop. Yeah, so those are our non-hits of the week. I will say this on that play. This is a little mini commissioner bid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that play... So that play happens. They're on, like, the one.
Yeah.
The only outcome of that guy jumping over the line like that is they move to the one half.
Yeah.
It's basically no outcome.
Right.
It's still third down.
There's really nothing bad about doing that.
Yeah,
because if he had timed it right... It would have been amazing.
And similarly, like, you see these plays where, like, there's much less reason to not face mask people and all these things when you get close like that. Some of those plays come with automatic first downs, but this one did not. So, and I think a first down would be a little too much.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't get nothing.
Yeah.
Because they basically got nothing.
Right.
So here's my proposal.
Okay.
For a thing like that, an offsides, or, you know, certain smaller penalties that we don't feel like deserve a first down...
Uh-huh.
You just take one off the down. If it was third, it goes back to second.
Yeah.
If it was second, it goes back to first. That's kind of the same. But just take one off. There you go. Because it's wrong that they didn't get something out of that. I mean, they moved the ball 3 inches forward. Who cares?
Yeah, that basically means nothing.
And similarly, well, I don't know if we want to give offenses loss of downs when they do that in their...
Do similar things in their...
We should consider it, though. We should consider doing that.
We'll do a field study.
We will. We'll think about that a little.
An environmental impact survey, you might call it.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Enjoy the conference championships. We certainly will. From Alan.
And James. Stay low.